Father asked if we would just kind of do a group thing here together, her and I. And so by the grace of God, we're going to do that, try to be a help and encouragement and as transparent as we can be. And so let's start with a word of prayer. We'll read a passage and then we'll jump right into our lesson here. Lord, we love you and we thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for this conference and the blessing it's already been in speaking to our hearts. Thank you for the wonderful fellowship and the preaching, and the food. And now as we take a few minutes and Mary and I share kind of our testimony and the joys and the struggles of the ministry, I pray that you'll not only give us wisdom to effectively communicate what you've laid on our hearts, but we also pray that this lesson would be a help to the ladies that are here, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name, and amen. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 1, if you want to just turn there, we're going to read just one verse and kind of just get into our testimony a little bit. And then, as I mentioned, we're going to kind of look at the joys and the challenges of ministry. I'll say a few things, Mary say a few things, and really also what we feel is some misconceptions of the ministry as well. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 1. And notice, if you would, verse number 12. The Bible says, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he accounted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And I just think about that verse. I think about the ministry. And the ministry, as you all know, is not like a choice. Like, you know, should I be a doctor, a lawyer, or go in the ministry? It doesn't work that way. It's God places you. Mary and I talked about this passage, and when you get married, you become one flesh. So that calling, right, that calling is for both of us. We're put in the ministry by God together. And so we understand that as joint, as together, as one flesh. And we do ministry together. And obviously, we'll talk about some of those things today and some of the challenges associated with doing ministry together. All right? So I'll just start briefly with just very brief my testimony, and then Mary will share hers. So you kind of most of you don't even really, I don't know 95% of you. And so you even know who is speaking to. I pastor Open Door Baptist Church in Linwood, Washington. It's about 20 minutes north of Seattle. And I started going to that church when I was 18 months old. And our church has only had one pastor in 57 years besides me. And I've been on staff for 23 years this October. I was associate for 6 or 7 years, and I've been the senior pastor for 16 years this October. And I got saved at our church, and I grew up in there, the Christian school there. Probably the worst kid the Christian school ever had was me, but God has a sense of humor. And my mom and dad separated when I was around middle school, and our family got out of church, and I kind of went to the world. And when I was in the world, I really never knew how to do anything in moderation, so it was all on. And I have scars today to deal, you know, that are just like, you know, in the past, and that I deal with today as a result of that. So, but during my tenure there, I met Mary. And see, people think that, you know, tenure, my time in the world, she had just turned 21. So you can imagine where we met, right? So we were at a dance club, Pier 70, right? I'm backslidden, right? I'm saved, but I'm totally in the world. But you know, when you're saved and you try to be in the world, you don't have any peace. It doesn't work. You're ruined. You're not going to fit in. You try, but you just don't, you know? So I met her, and we were dancing and this and that and liked her and all this kind of stuff. And I said, and I was just out of void. And I said, do you want to come to church with me tomorrow? And she's like, this guy is the weirdest guy I've ever met in my life. And so she came to Open Door. Actually, I brought her to a Saturday night. It was a Saturday night, the College and Career, right?
We went to church first, I
think. Okay, church first, and then we went to the College and Career thing, right? Something. Yeah, and then we're talking 30 years ago, so we're trying to remember exactly. So after the invitation on that Saturday night, at the Saturday night college thing, I asked her if she wanted to be saved, and I took her in a side room there, prayed with her, went through the plan of salvation, led her to the Lord, and then we went to church that next Sunday morning, and she's always had issues with trust, so she's like, I wonder if everything he was telling me was true. So the invitation was given Sunday morning, she goes forward again, she's like, I want to see what he told me is true. And so Mrs. Blue, Pastor Blue's wife, took her in the prayer room and led her to the Lord, and that's kind of the, you know, how it all started for us. Then we got right in. Like six nights a week, I was in a dance club partying, and then it went right to church. Bible Institute, anything. It was Tuesday night Institute, Wednesday night soul winning, Thursday night church, Friday night youth activities, Saturday buses, Sunday church. We did it like that. That's how we did it.
It's been
that
way. It did kind of blend. It took about 3 months. It didn't
3 months,
happen the night of.
Yeah, well. She knows.
He's preaching.
I'm preaching. That's how I remember
Sorry.
It. Thank you. The balance. Thank you.
Communication.
Yes. So that's kind of how it went, you know, and.
But we were engaged in 3 months still.
Yeah, we were engaged in 3 months. Yeah, 3 months. Okay, less. But her mom said, wait, and so we waited a year from. That
engagement.
Yeah, a year from the engagement.
Yeah.
And so, yep.
Because my mom flipped a lid.
Yep, she did flip the lid. And you know, rightfully so.
Don't
blame her. Yeah, exactly. So, I love how when I'm sharing my testimony, I'm realizing this, I kind of shared hers too. She's like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, telling my part.
I knew I wouldn't be saying much.
No, you are. I so tried really hard. So why don't you just jump right in, talk a little bit about, you know, you. Yeah.
So the joys and the struggles in ministry is when he's the speaker all the time.
Right.
You don't ever learn to speak.
This is already starting well.
He's like, this isn't what we talked about. Well, so I did get saved at 21. When we did meet, I had no intentions of getting married, much less going to church. My idea of life was just to have fun and to enjoy it. And so I had seen him at the club a few different times. My friends who were clubbers also knew of who he was. So they were like, oh yeah, he's here a lot. And I'm like, okay. So, and then he threw the church thing at me and I thought, well, you know, I had previously that summer had kind of a conviction going on, and I knew decisions in my life were pretty poor on my own. And so the Lord had been previously working on me in that area. And I thought, well, I should go get some sins forgiven. How do you do that? And I had known about being a Catholic. I knew Jesus. My parents went to church I went to church with my parents when they were together, but they did separate as well. And so I knew of faith, but I didn't know what it meant to trust the Lord I didn't really know what it meant to be a Christian. And so he kind of enlightened me in that area and, trusting the Lord. And so, you know, and here we are.
Here we are.
And it's been a roller coaster ride. And the analogy with the roller coaster is I feel like you're, as a young person, they give us these roller coasters and we're like, yes, we ride them. We didn't know they were preparations for life.
Yeah, very true.
You know, so I learned that along the way, I feel. I don't know.
Lord gave you your life verse.
Oh, yes. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. I took that on young in my Christian walk, and I really hold to that. And as you read through that chapter, you know it talks about vengeance. Well, I had a lot of issues. So I'm like, oh, the Lord is the avenger, not me.
Yeah, amen.
So I love Romans 12, the whole chapter, and Ephesians 4 was something I had learned as well going in. I did the ladies' Bible study. He was in Bible Institute, and she was teaching us through Ephesians, at the time. And so learning through Ephesians coming out of the world was a really good book to get into for me personally. So that was part of my beginning as a Christian. I don't know where we're at here.
Okay, so that was our testimony, just kind of walking through that. Misconceptions. Oh, people think about ministry. They want to go in the ministry or they're in it. They thought this is what it was going to be, and then they get in. And not bemoaning at all. We love the ministry and we're thankful for it, but there are misconceptions. And these are just kind of just real quick. We won't elaborate on them a lot, but the people sometimes in church, they have the perception that if you're in the ministry, you're the pastor, either pastor's wife or assistant pastor, this or that, or leaders in the church, that, you know, the misconception is that you just have it all together and that everything is great and that there are no problems and what have you. False, right? We all know that. And you had this one, Mary, you wrote this down. Some of the people, your kids.
Something that I think people struggle in ministry is that your kids are supposed to be perfect.
or that they think, yeah.
And then that, you know, maybe that goes down that your kids are supposed to be perfect, that everybody's supposed to come with their bows tied and et cetera, et cetera. And I was never that person. My daughter had big, fluffy hair, and she would look back at photos and go, "Mom, why didn't you do my hair?" And we had other families, you know, that had all their kids perfectly in order, and I just couldn't get myself to do that. I couldn't do it, so I didn't do it. But your kids have to kind of struggle a little bit, and they have to, well, how do I want to say that? Being perfect just isn't real, yeah. You know, and
there are no perfect families, right? It's like I have one of my assistant pastors always says, perfect people scare me.
Right.
Meaning, and they all have skeletons. It's just a lot of it is a facade. There are no perfect families. There is not in the Bible and not in life. It's just not real.
I don't know.
Okay. All right. These are just real quickly at the beginning, and then we'll get into some of the other stuff on the joy and the challenges. But some people in your church, they think your connection to God is different because, you know, oh, you're in the ministry. You have this, you know, we all know, doctrinally speaking, we all have the same access, right? Oh, will you pray for, I want a pastor to pray for me. Well, we can. Let's pray. But you can pray too, right? We're not Catholic priests.
Yeah.
You know, everyone is for you, you know, if you get in the ministry. You have enemies, right? There's a book I encourage you to read. We read it. It's called Well-Intentioned Dragons. It's a very good book, and it's actually out of print, but you can get it on Kindle now. It's very, very good. I have a lesson on how to slay a dragon, but it's a separate lesson. We'll do it a different time. And then I think one struggle, so we'll just get into this one, but how political to some extent that you really need to be people to understand that. And that's the part I know for Mary, she struggles, not political in the sense where you're, you know, acquiescing on things that you're supposed to, you know, but I'm talking about where you got to deal with people with kid gloves, like in the world, you know, it's like,
you're fired,
right? The tentacles in the church are much deeper and farther than some people want to admit. And or accept or even see. And so the political side, like my son Micah, he's like, that's the part that just blows me away. It's like, just this is how you deal with it, right? No, that's not how you deal with it, right? You have grace, son, right? So it is a challenge, and people don't get that. It's a misconception. We get in there, there's just families and their friends, and then it just goes, and the ripple effect sometimes of our decisions. So, yeah. All right, the joy of the ministry, watching God work, we all see that. When you're in the right mindset, you're reminded that, you know, what you're involved in is eternal, right? What you're involved in is eternal. I want you to look at a passage that Mary and I looked at yesterday. Look at 3 John, if you would, just briefly, 3 John. Seeing people grow, we're talking about just some of the joys before we get into the challenges. 3 John. And this is something that I think Pastor Welder even mentioned it. Brother, I think it might have been Pastor Michael as well. It takes time. You know, my pastor used to always say, God's more interested in growing, you know, oaks than onions. Meaning it takes time. You know, don't just see it right away. You guys are in New Zealand, you know. I mean, it's granite out there. God's put you there. But it takes time, you know, to see the fruit. And sometimes in a day when people want to just, you know, pull up without seeing it right away, it's great to see eventually, right? 3 John in chapter 3, and look at verse 14. 3 John chapter 1, verse 4. Yep, and I've got small print and bad eyes. Thank you.
I have no
favorite. Yeah. I rejoice greatly.
That's three.
Yes.
Where are we? 3 John.
Yep. And verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That is a blessing. That is a joy of the ministry, to see people discipled, to see people grow. We've talked extensively about that. Mary, you jotted that down about seeing young people. You can talk about the college group and the teens and seeing them.
The joy of the ministry, obviously, when you see church family and young people making their own choices. We just had a 19-year-old boy. He's grown up in the church. His father died, I think, when he was about 7 or something. And so his mom's been at the church and faithful, but he just joined the church. And kind of, you know, when your kid just, he's 19 and he's been in the, or, you know, you're like, oh, he's already a member. But he's made this upfront profession. He's got baptized. He made it on his own. And it's just been kind of like, he's just coming along and he's helping in youth ministry and he's helping with the kids and
media.
It's just a blessing to see that he's made that decision. It's not, you know, something that, you know, he's in, you know, enticed.
Being forced
to. Yeah, yeah, it's his own decision. So I feel like that's a major joy in seeing people, young people especially, just choose to serve on their own. And yeah.
It's a blessing. Serving with family, that's a joy. You know, one thing as well, if you're in the ministry and even bivocationally, sometimes it makes it more of a challenge, but we talked about this. At our church, for example, just on a normal, you have your obviously Sunday morning, Sunday night, Thursday night, then you have your couples retreat, or you have a missions conference, or a Bible conference, or missions trips, or, you know, you name it. And one of the blessings of the ministry is the fact you think about the people that take vacation time, right, like to go to camp, or take vacation time to come to the conference, or take vacation time to do that short-term mission trip, right? And which is awesome. And by the way, we all did it that are in the ministry now. We all did that, right? But we get to actually go, and it's like not our vacation time. It's what we do. That doesn't mean there's not challenges. We're going to get to that in a minute. But it's what we do. So that it's something to be reminded of and to be encouraged by. We get to be part in planning it. You're like, I don't want to plan another one of these, right? After a meeting, it's like, I didn't do this. You mean, that's a joy? Isn't that supposed to be in the challenge? Right? No, and it is a challenge as well. I get it. It's a lot of work. We have a meeting as well. It's a lot of work. But it is a joy. And serving with family and things of that nature. Okay? Let's jump right into this. This is the main part of our lesson here that we kind of want to talk about for us and just be a little transparent about struggles that we've had. And hardships and discouragements and things of that nature. So just quickly, if you would, look at Hebrews 12 and 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Hebrews 12 and 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And the first one is just overall discouragement that can come, and then ways to come out of that, and the reasons why the discouragement in the ministry can come. Hebrews chapter number 12, and look if you would at verse number 3. Familiar passage, but, you know, never be afraid to state the obvious is what I say most people. It's what most people have forgotten. Verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. But notice the last part. Lest you be weary and faint where? And that's what I've observed in just my short tenure of 2 decades in the ministry, is the weariness of the mind and the assailing of the mind that can come from the wicked one, from external things in our family and church or what have you, and then our own demons, our own battles and things that we kind of just internalize, right? And it just begins to really beat you down and discourage you. And so challenges in the ministry that we've discussed for us sometimes is discouragement. Well, I think the answer to how to rectify it is at the top of verse 3. And it just is this, very simple. Consider him. We all know that intellectually. It's like, well, duh, tell me something I don't know. But then the question is, do I always do that, right? Consider him. What he endured a contradiction of sinners. And so definitely discouragement, spiritual battles, and then the battle of the mind. You're in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verse number 4. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. And Mary, this one was yours. You put down here the battle of the mind. So I'll let you make a couple comments on this. We'll read the passage. So notice, if you would, first of all, not verse 5, but verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Talk about challenges in the ministry, the battle of the mind kind of ties in with verse 3 that we looked at in Hebrews. I'll say one thought, and then I'll let Mary comment on this, but it's been said, our pastor used to say it all the time, and it's just a good thought. Fleeting thoughts we get, we get that, but the saying was this: you can never stop the birds from flying over your head. You just don't have to let them nest there. And just ponder that in terms of what we cultivate. Because it is a spiritual battle, right? It can be discouraging. And a lot of it's in here, right? So, Mary, I'll have you make a couple comments on that, you know, about battles you've had and struggles you've had in your own.
The mind. I guess for me personally, overthinking. Anybody overthink? process, and process again to where you're wearing your own self out. You haven't done anything. You're just thinking. So it's exhausting. You can overthink. Maybe the situation is the expectations, if it's family or the ministry that you're in, hosting an event, you overthink, and you know, it can be exhausting. And so for me, I do a ladies' Bible study Sunday mornings. I co-teach with another teacher, and for a few different, we would rotate our topics, and every time we got a new topic, for some reason, I would get Elijah and 1 Kings, and I think it happened 3 times. Different books, same topic for me, and I thought, okay, Lord, what are you trying to teach me here? And so I'm kind of a doer. And so I learned that the Lord actually does want us to rest. He wants us to rest, he wants us to eat, and he wants us to rest again. And I think as women, we find that very difficult, and we can find that as, you know, that little brain says, you're being lazy. No, you're not. You're refreshing. And that is something that we need to schedule. You got to schedule your rest time. And so I think that's very, very important. And you can't listen to those negative thoughts that float into your thought life and let them have reign in your mind. You need to recount them with the scriptures, whatever ones that you might be holding on to at the time. And if you aren't, get them. You know, don't let Satan have the victory in your thought life and bring you down, because then it's going to bring down your ministry, whatever that is, your family, your people you're involved with. So you've got to stay strong in the scriptures.
I love eating and resting and eating again and resting. Challenges who you can trust. And just for the sake of time, I won't go there. A good reference for you is Psalm 41:9. Who you can trust. You know, I think it is important to be careful how much we say and who we say it to. We'll just look at it. I'll just read it real quick. Psalm 41, in verse 9. It's a picture here of Judas, really. Yea, my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. We've all been betrayed in ministry. Here's our Lord who was betrayed. And it can hurt. And the thing about ministry is you have to, like, expose yourself, like, be vulnerable to really help people. And then sometimes if we get hurt, it's like, I am never doing that again. And then that just closes the door off for an ability to minister even more to sometimes. So,
have I done that?
Am I doing that? Yeah.
I think. I think Mary, since.
Because that, you know, is my personality.
Yeah,
I
no,
know
full
that.
Transparency is. Okay, she rarely will open up to anybody anyway, like to even be, maybe she was hurt, and I don't know, but her nature is to not really, even with me, like last night on the phone, Rebecca calls us, she's FaceTiming, she's like, what's the difference between being in love, saying I love you, and being in love? Right? And I said, well, I can answer that. And, you know, she asked us. And I said, well, I mean, I'm in love with Mom. And matter of fact, the more time I spend with her, right, the more I love her, right? And it's just, it's a blessing that she's able to come with me when I go or I'm preaching out or whatever. And I look forward to the time where we can spend more time together. So I don't just love her. I'm in love with her, right? And then it was Mary's turn. Well, and I was like... And she, I'm telling you, but you know, that used to hurt me. And we've been married 28 years. It used to hurt. Like, I will say everything in the world, how I feel, this, and it's just, I get very few. Right. So.
And then I have to say, it's because I don't want to be vulnerable. But he just was.
Yeah.
Right.
But I can't be.
Yeah, and so, and I don't know, and that can be, you know, who you are as an individual, et cetera, but we've all been hurt. We've all had people come to us and say things to us or behind our backs or things like that. It happened to our Lord, right? You can never stop people from saying things about you. You just have to live in such a way where it doesn't stick, right? And safety's of the Lord. He's going to protect you. And he knows our ways. And so we just have to do right and make sure we take care of ourselves. God will take care of them. But it does hurt. It does hurt. Feeling like you've been hurt. Oh, I have that one in there, which is the next one. Let's just real quick look at, since this, we're talking about that same context, if you have been hurt, look at 1 Peter 2. Just really quick, I want to share this with you. And Mary, you kind of brought, as we talked last night again, this one to me. So just... go in this mindset, 1 Peter 2, that, you know, either you've been hurt, or you're hurt right now, or even in the future if somebody hurts you, this is a good thing to look at. 1 Peter 2, look at verse number 19. For this is thankworthy if a man, for conscience sakes, watch this, toward God endure grief, suffering, what's the next word? Wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereto when you are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. Keep in mind, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. So the Lord himself didn't respond, right? That's what we want to do. We want to respond. We want to lash out. And that's not always the right thing. And if vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, as Mary talked about, just he can do a much better job than we can. And so that's a hard thing to do, to let it go. So feeling like you've been hurt, who you can trust. Another struggle, just quickly here also, is feeling like you're going through the motions. We have talked extensively about this. I think Mary specifically, she said to me, I'm turning 50 in November, which was last November. And she said, I want my last 20 years. I want to make sure that they're impactful, right? I want to do, I just feel like we're going through the motions, right? And so you can feel that way, right? Some people more than others. I'll let you kind of make a few comments on how you feel about that, and then I'll just talk. My mind just goes to fix it mode, and yeah, fix it mode, right? And understanding biblically, it may seem like you're going through the motions, but line upon line, precept upon precept. If we're doing what we're supposed to do, even though it seems mundane and seems like you're going through the motions, you're doing what you're supposed to do, and find joy in it, right? The joy in the journey, not the destination, right? So. Do you have any thoughts on that, Mary? Or do you not want to comment on that?
So it kind of indicts you.
Well, it's normal. Because she said I would have made a good Catholic. She says I'm very ritualistic. That's what it was. I'm very ritualistic.
It's kind of a deep thing, but okay. Anyways, yeah, I mean.
You don't have to.
I don't have to. you want to keep doing something for the Lord, right? So you want to do more, be more, etc. And when the Lord gives you an opportunity, you just bathe it in prayer. And sometimes it's good to pray together, and sometimes we didn't always do that.
Yeah. If you're thinking about the one thing, we did pray together.
Not really.
Yeah. This is recorded. Okay, I can say it in a benign. So, pastor of a big church asked me if I would take his church, and.
The backstory on that too is.
We did pray about it. Hey, we did pray about it.
Is so. My daughter was graduating from high school, moving on to college, or not mine, but ours, And so that my son, we were still home. I was homeschooling. We were not very homeschooling.
She homeschooled, yeah.
And so I knew I only had 2 more years of the homeschool with him, and then he was going to go on to college. And so I had been like, Lord, what are you wanting me to do? What is my next? What am I going to do now that homeschool's over?
Yeah.
So that was focused prayer. And then... He graduated from high school, and COVID hit during that, and it was just like, then you're really praying, right? Because what do you do during COVID but pray? What is going on, Lord? The world's coming to an end. And so I felt like my relationship with God was just stronger and stronger, and then this opportunity came with him, but it would have been really, really bumpy. But I just felt really strong about it. But I thought, okay, Lord, but I just never felt like we had the same. Yeah.
Well, we didn't see eye to eye on it.
Yeah.
And we did pray together about it. Yeah, just to take
a different ministry. Ministry opportunity.
Ministry opportunity, right? And it was the simplest way to put it without us arguing again about it. I don't just say this flippantly. God told me no. I knew unequivocally I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. even though I would love to, if the Lord wanted me to do another phase or this or that or whatever, and I just, you know, and so she thinks I missed it, and I told her the other day, we'll find out at the judgment, right? I do have a couple things, as we only have a few minutes left, a couple things I do want to make sure we get to is, you know, finances can be a challenge, personal as well as the church. The strain on your marriage, most of our arguments through the years have been through two things, okay? One, it started out with early on, really just watering the grass.
Oh, when we're not going there.
So
I'm standing here.
I know you're standing. I'm just going to say really quick. Because she's like, let's save money. Like, this is early on, 27 years ago. Like, okay, so just for a microcosm, very quickly, I'm brand new married, like 27, 28 years ago. I get in the shower and there's like this 5-gallon bucket in the shower. And I was like, well, honey, what is this? She says, well, you're running the water and you're waiting for it to get warm. And then when you're in there, put your foot in the bucket and then the water will run off of you. And then I could water the grass and my foot. And I thought, what is happening to me? And then I'm finding Ziploc bags like that I took from work and I threw them away and she's pulling them out and she's redoing them, you know, or we're going camping and there's these blocks of ice in the freezer. I'm like, milk cartons. I said, what are you doing? She said, we don't have to buy ice. So I was learning early on. So some of the fights we very frugal. So which is a blessing. So we had those fights. Those were just like water the grass. So I would sneak water it, you know, and then she'd come home and it would be wet and it'd be another fight. So anyway, but ministry-wise, I think for us, I'll let you talk about what it was like with the staff. So when we served together as associate for 7 years and then the staff and how when I had my pastoral staff, how you felt. So why don't you talk about that? And that's, we had some real battles and still kind of do.
Shocker.
about, for whatever reason, she comes to my office and hers is at the far end and mine's over here. But when she comes down that hallway and sits in my office and we start talking about, we've learned, like, do you have a minute, you know? And we're really working at it, but sometimes it gets pretty intense when it comes to ministry talk. So just talk about your feelings of hurt with staff and stuff like that. Just because we're almost out of time.
Yeah, okay. So...
You have 12.
Okay. I thought it was 11, sorry. Okay. Okay, perfect.
Communicating, working in the office. When we first got involved in ministry with Pastor Blue, I worked a lot with him. To the extent of typing all of his stuff because he didn't really ever learn the keyboard. So I was doing all the paperwork, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. So and then when he became pastor, he hired staff and he learned to henpeck through those few years of being.
She told me on the plane here that I'm getting really fast.
But this is what he does. And this is so wrong. So you can't watch it. I can't watch it. But anyways, he seems to manage.
He at least
seems
to do it.
He's right. Managed.
Some of us are still.
Yeah.
So we were pretty, I'm going to use the word entangled, but that's a bad word.
No, we were.
We were pretty connected. Yeah. Yeah. You know, serving together, doing youth ministry together, and then the staff came in, he hired people, and then I was just like a nobody. And that was a weird transition.
Well, she felt that way. She wasn't a nobody, but she felt that way.
No, I was. Because I could say something, but if Kurt said it, we did it.
Oh, no. Yeah. My husband was kind of that way.
Yeah.
We did that same thing. Was that your intention? Like, you thought you didn't necessarily want her
Yeah,
her.
Good
was
question.
Oh,
not at all. Matter of fact, I feel guilty about it. I feel like if I did it, I feel I want to apologize if I did that because it was not my intention. And the most frustrating thing about it was I absolutely never stopped valuing her opinion. So she has a lot of great ideas, and so she'd give me, for example, three or four ideas ministry-wise. And I would, use three of them, and the other, I'm like, hey, this looks good. I'm like, I really don't feel comfortable at this point with this one. And this is, the biggest frustration. I would get no credit for the three that I did. She'd say, "You never listen to me." And that bothers me more than anything.
Do I use the word never, though?
Available for counseling.
Yeah, so... But that was, so, yeah. So we've by the grace of God, so we've managed to kind of really, I feel at a point where we're still, there's a little more tension because she has more responsibility right now. My secretary retired after 17 years. And so she's a liaison to the CPA firm that does our books. You're taking a $2 million budget, moving it over into this CPA firm. And she's now the liaison, which now more of the staff has to kind of get stuff to her to get to them. It's massive work for her, which is kind of, she has less ideas now. So now
are you happier now?
Yeah, I'm curious.
Am I happier now?
Yeah. Did you have all this
I do kind of, yeah.
She loves to work. Doer.
Yeah, that's all I like to do is work. That's fun for me. It's really
I want to go on vacation. She wants to work. Literally, that's our...
Venus and Mars.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Okay. Communication.
On the communication part. I mean, I don't know if this would help anybody, but... I've learned, at least dealing with him.
Which, by the way, I will admit, is a major challenge.
I have to kind of present it like, okay, this is going to make you mad.
Yeah.
Or, hey, I need to talk. I send email. Yeah. Ministry question. Yeah. and it's very, and the other thing is also, you asked about, did you intentionally do that? And a lot of what I think goes on also, Pastor Kurt brought up one time, men have, they don't do like we do. We do like this. They are the road. Yeah, they are this country road, he used the illustration. Mm-hmm. So if you're frustrated with things, maybe because you're dealing with a country road and you've got space invaders going on, right?
Happily admit, country road, 100%.
This multitaskers, okay. They're not.
Yeah.
Right. And I always say, Paul said this one thing I do. You got 30, I got one, right? So you always got to bring it back to the Bible, all right? Dealing with struggles in the ministry, dealing with gossipers in your church. I just jotted this down here. We talked about this last night as well, was making sure you don't reward them when they come to you. Don't listen to them. Don't reward them. It's okay sometimes if you say, it's best that, you don't come to me with this, I mentioned well-intentioned dragons. What that really means, you have a lot of people, and every church has them, where they do so much stuff, and they are well-intentioned, but they also can be a dragon, and you have to watch for them and discern that. On the communication one, just real quick, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's one thing that I always go to, even when I do a couples retreat for a church or what have you, is we agreed a long time ago. I've never had to say, I'm the leader in the home, blah, 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 blah. If you have to tell your wife you're the leader in the home, you're not the leader, right? So we see it. Very simple. It's submitting, Ephesians 5:21, we submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. And that's been really helped as far as communication is concerned. I think it's so important that you talk about everything, and be open even if there's reluctancy. And I try to do that. And sometimes, I talk more than she talks. I know that shocks you, but I have to pull, from her sometimes to really get her to open up. We had one about 2 weeks ago that I regretted pulling. It was not a good one. Actually, it was 3 weeks ago. But it ended up yielding a peaceable fruit of righteousness. It was just painful at the time.
I have a question about that too. Do you talk a lot well, yeah. Or just meet, so you, ministry-wise, even you discuss most things?
Yeah, great question. I would say it's the kids and ministry are the two things. I like to, the things I enjoy talking about the most are dreaming with her about, like, you know, if we retired, if we did another phase of ministry, I'd like to do this. That's kind of my block, my out when I'm stressed out. Like, how do I get out of this weight knowing I can't do it, just to talk about it, to dream together, but also about the kids that were almost empty nesters and they're just kind of right there. A lot about the kids and then ministry a lot. We do talk about ministry a lot.
but with ministry a lot.
Yeah.
A lot means a lot to a lot of different people.
Yeah.
So when we go home, he does not want to talk about the ministry.
Yeah, that's fair.
Pretty much.
That's fair.
So again, my presentation on, depending on what it is, yeah. might be what we don't talk about at the time.
In my office or whatever.
Yeah, I have to kind of,
schedule
one of
it.
You brought it up, like how you bring it to your husband is
right.
You kind of, you have to learn it, and you kind of have to understand, like, okay, they need that downtime. They just preached. We can't go and pounce on them, you know? And so, because they need to regress, too. They're going through spiritual battles as well. And so we have our spiritual battles that we deal with. They do, too. And so we have to make sure that we remember that. And
I think she's very sensitive to that. I really do think she is very slow to bring something to me, even if she knows it's going to be like a heavier one, the timing of it. Sometimes she won't tell me if I don't need to know and for a while or whatever. So she's very good at that. But we do. But on the flip side, we do talk about ministry at home all the time. You know, she's saying it's not at home, but we do talk about it all the time. Yeah. So, yeah, we do.
Interpretations.
Yeah. Well, first of all, she's there. I don't counsel any ladies in the church, period. That's been my policy from day one. If I do, it's she's there, so she's involved in that. As far as the other stuff I try to keep from her, one thing that's been a big challenge now that Mrs. Perry, or my secretary, retired, is that she's taking the minutes now because that's who did that before. And I have another secretary, but she's doing graphics and other stuff. So she's there in the office doing it. And so that's been a difference. Now, deacons, she's in the deacons' meetings, which is really different. So pray for us because this is a big difference of, yeah, yes.
Sorry, yeah,
that's right.
Do you guys both have hobbies outside of the ministry?
Oh, great question.
No.
Yes. Where do we start?
Yes.
Do you feel no. like you should? Do
yeah.
You know,
okay, I am so glad you asked that. And I think, so what comes to mind with this and is the Bible says in Proverbs 20 and verse 5, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. And sometimes the questions that you can pull out that you really sense that might be beneficial, it's great to ask the right questions. I think it's very important for ladies as well as guys to have something outside of the ministry and have hobbies and things that you look forward to. And sometimes I think some of the struggles or depression or discouragement that she faces is because that outlet that, you know, once I'm done with this, I get to do this, doesn't exist with her. It like does not exist. And she'll admit that. She has zero, which could end up being detrimental long term. She knows that. The kids were everything. I told her at the very beginning, I don't want to just, when the kids were empty nesters, turn around and look at each other and go, now, who are you? You know, you've heard that before because you've, you know, not vicariously just lived through them, but that was everything to you. So, me?
So you got me cats.
Right. She loves kittens, you know. So I fish. I golf. And those are my two main hobbies. And
watches golf.
I like to watch golf.
And hockey.
Yeah,
and
whatever.
Football.
I like sports.
Baseball.
Football is, yeah. So, whatever, you know. Those are my hobbies. And it took me 26 years to get a boat. I finally got a boat. But absolutely and unequivocally. Yep. All right, as we close here, these are what I wrote, miscellaneous. You can just keep in mind. So priorities in ministry, I'd say number, you know, before the ministry, ladies, you probably already know, Song of Solomon 1, verse 6, he says, the Lord made me the keeper of the vineyard. But he said this, but my own vineyard have I not kept. Mm-hmm. Never replace your family with the ministry. My pastor will tell you, I was married to the church for 4 decades. And he will tell you, well, he's in heaven now, but I lost all 5 of my children. None of them are in church. And, you know, they're saved by the grace of God, but just kind of went, okay? Because he was married to it. You can never get that time back. And so you have to be careful with that. When you mention hobbies, getting through busy seasons, I can just tell you what I do, what we do. And I love to travel is another hobby as well. Just last month, a week ago, we were in Australia for the last 2.5 weeks. But I preached 12 times, 4 different churches. But I brought her with me, right? And traveling, right? Well, I knew leading up to that, a super busy season, I had that to look forward to. Or I'm going to go fishing over here. Or I'm going to do this. Or we're going to go to Hawaii. Or we're going to do this. It's getting through busy seasons. Always have something to look forward to. Dream with your spouse. The problem with those that say, here's this is important. They plan, I plan to, I should, I need to get away. I'm gonna, it's I'm hoping, it's gonna, and they never do. You have to. Mary attested to it. You have to rest. You have to take those breaks. You'll just get burnt out. Protecting your kids in the ministry, protect them, communicate with them. I went to our church on Sunday nights, and I would say, I just want to thank this church for never treating my children. Now, I knew there was maybe one that did, but I just blanketed it. You take the opposite approach. Thank you for never treating our children any different than any of the other kids in this church. And I just opened up, and you know, the one who probably did, right, who just was like, oh, you know, so... That's really, really important. I would say to parents, don't ever say to your kids, well, you're the pastor's kid, so you can't do this. That'll just destroy them. Never say, because we're in the ministry, we're Christians, and this is what we do. And lastly, do's and don'ts in ministry. Don't spend too much time with the same couple, okay? I think it's just a mistake. I would say also, don't always tell people what you're doing and where you're going. They don't fully understand it. There are times I didn't tell our church I'm here all week, right? At all. And so our assistant will get up and say he's preaching a conference in Texas. He'll be back Sunday. And then hasty decisions. Don't make hasty decisions. Pray about everything. Okay, it's 11:16. What else do you have, honey? Anything else? Yeah.
You used the word submission earlier, and I heard it explained in a devotion that I had one time where she explained the word submission, because sometimes we hear that word and it's just like, and she said, as she explained it, make room for him to be responsible. And I don't know, I haven't researched it much more than that, but I thought it was interesting because of my experience with my own family. And that was, my mom took on 2 jobs instead of just, you know what, I'm not going to work. And you're going to have to provide. Mm-hmm. You know, so my mom didn't make room for him to be responsible. And so... So he wasn't. And he still isn't. Yeah. But that's a whole other story. So anyways, I just like that definition. So I wanted to make sure I shared that, because I think it's helpful to kind of... You know what? If the garbage isn't getting out, the worst thing we can do is like nag about it. Just leave it there to be tripped over. Which is what I do with my kids. Like, here you go.
we're gonna pray in just a second, but I want to say to ladies that this, just a quick reminder, all the pressure, sometimes many of you are pastors' wives, please know this. If you have ministered to your husband, you've ministered to the church. And that's something, just take solace in that. Don't feel like you have to do all this stuff. So, I don't see the guys out yet. Anybody, one question? Anybody have a question?
What was that
verse reference in Song of Solomon? Song of Solomon 1:6. You made you the keeper of the vineyard, but your own vineyard have you not kept. And I'd give you one other reference to study is for parents that had kids that maybe went south. I don't mean, well, if I was in Seattle, I'd say it's south of Arizona. Wayward, if they went wayward. Read Isaiah 5, verses 1 through 5, and it'll just really bring you comfort, you know. Planted a vineyard, thought it would bring forth grapes. It brought forth wild grapes. And Isaiah said, what more could I have done? You did the best you can. Don't beat yourself up. There's no perfect parent. If, you know, he which begun a good work in you, give it time, you know. And because I know a lot of parents struggle with kids that go wayward. So give it time. Anything else? Any other questions? Just real quick. Anybody have a question for us before we go? I don't see anybody beating down the door. Anybody? Okay. Well, let's pray. Ladies, thank you. Mary, thank you. And I think it was probably 60-40, 60% you, 40% me. So why don't you pray and ask the Lord's blessing.
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Father God, for putting us all in the ministry, Lord. Thank you for using us. I pray, Father, that you would be honored and glorified in the things that we say and do, that your work, people will get saved and amen. Lives will be changed and will be stronger in our churches as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you for having